planning authority does in fact have the ability to enforce land use regulations. I think where this gets misconstrued is there's a little five-letter word in there where if the land use regulations get changed after somebody buys a piece of property, then that might be that could tend to fall into an area that's unfair to the person that bought the property. That does not apply to this case. And I know that's, so just pointing out the laws on that is very different than actually discussing whether how much zoning or how much planning or how much control individuals feel that an authority should have. And hopefully it will be light. So that's the first topic. The second topic that I took a dive on is, I think I mentioned to you previously that I read two books about trailer parks. I left copies of those books in the office here. I know you guys don't have anything else to do than to read books about trailer parks, so I'm sure you've enjoyed them. And there's also been talk about the difference between an RV and the difference between a park model and a travel trailer. And I, as a layperson, have a hard time distinguishing between them, because to me the intent can be you're either going to want to live in it or you're going to want to travel with it. And you could travel more easily in an RV, but there are people that find themselves living in an RV. The two books that I read that were done by sociologists, one of them out of the University of Denver, the point, and I have bullets from that to hand out. I only got like halfway through it at the last meeting. The point that I took from that is it's not the kind of house you live in, it's whether or not you own the land underneath it. There's a huge trend that's growing in the United States for people to live more simply and to live in smaller homes and more affordable homes. The financial trap they fall into is that when you buy, whether it's an RV or a park model, as soon as you buy that, it starts to devaluate. So there is no chance for the person that buys that to build equity. And if they're in a park and they don't own the land, there's no chance for them to build equity. So when we talk about, or when you talk, or when discussions are made about affordable housing, yes, it might be cheaper to live in a trailer park.
Mr. Chairman, just a moment. May I interrupt? What relevance does this have to the case here in Alpine, please?
I would like to set straight that there was some discussion about whether these would be permanent dwellings and therefore might help with affordable housing. It has been stated, but not made clear in any revised application, that in fact this would be strictly transient. And my concern about that is I don't see Apache County having the wherewithal, the means, the feasibility to enforce transients. We have the word of Mr. Gomez. It's not in writing anywhere in the application. And if it was in writing in the application, I would like to see the commissioners set forth a method that would enforce that it was strictly transient in order for it to fall under the auspices of a truly commercial development.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I'll hand this out. It's a little more reading, but
I'd still be reading two books.
I have a couple of legal questions.
And part of this talks about, and it's just a blog from the internet, so take it with a grain of salt, talks about how people are finding ways to permanently live in RVs. So this is an issue that's coming down the road.
Brad, did you get
here.
One of these?
Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't have a name in front of you.
I know.
Uh-huh. Yeah. See? Comes back to haunt you.
Don't encourage him, please.
I think so.
Shauna
doesn't get one.
Oh, I saw this before.
And I just bring this to you because this, Mr. Freeman asked a really good question. Does this specifically pertain to this particular CUP application? I think it does. You might think it doesn't, but if you don't think it applies to this application, it's a big issue, and it's coming at this county, and there are people in this county.